This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to the November edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and on the first Friday of each month, we are joined by Michigan League of Conservation Voters Executive Director Lisa Wozniak, and she always brings a special guest, and together we discuss a topic of environmental importance to the state and our home community. Lisa, welcome back, and today we're going to get the scoop on poop.
That's true. It's a pleasure to be here, Dave, as always. And our guest today is Pam Taylor. Pam is the research coordinator for the Environmentally Concerned Citizens of South Central Michigan, an organization that is set up to educate the public on the health risks and environmental damage of concentrated or confined animal feeding operations. Some know them as CAFOs, which have brought to our community and its watershed some big challenges. So the organization works to promote sustainable agriculture and improve water quality outcomes through better practices.
Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, today we're here to discuss the impact of livestock waste and agricultural practices on our health and water, especially in areas just south of here, like Lenawee County. So, Pam, your group does a lot of monitoring of the environment and water quality. What does a CAFO operation actually look like?
These are places that house animals indoors for more than 45 days a year. The animals are not out on pasture. Everything's done inside, and that's where the term concentrated or confined comes from. The legal definition by the EPA and the state of Michigan sorts them into large, medium, and small by number. We monitor the largest of them, which means they have over 700 dairy cows, 2,500 pigs. It creates a pretty big impact on the waterways when you consider that the manure and waste equivalent from one cow is equal to 20 people. So a 3,500 dairy cow operation puts out the sewage every day equivalent to 70,000 people.
There's been a lot of research and study, Pam, into the relationship between agricultural runoff with this waste and water contamination. That includes the contamination of drinking water sources. So how big a role do CAFOs play in those sources of contamination?
The EPA has already identified around 300 contaminants coming from these large concentrated animal feeding operations. E. coli and other pathogens, viruses, pharmaceuticals, hormones, cleaning chemicals, cryptosporidium, giardia, especially excess nutrients that lead to harmful algae blooms, which we've seen. And these harmful algae blooms contain a toxin called cyanotoxins. To give you an example of how toxic these are, microcystin, which is just one of the toxins, it's the one that was responsible for the Toledo water scare several years ago, is so toxic that 3/10 of a part per billion can create health effects in a 220-pound person.
Wow. Well, that's really scary stuff. Mm-hmm. So how significant is this issue in our area, in Southeast Michigan, based on what you and your organization are seeing?
We're seeing increased harmful algae blooms in lakes and in our streams, not just in Southeast Michigan.
But people are saying that's phosphorus, not so much to what we're getting from the CAFOs, right?
But the phosphorus comes from the nutrients that are in the CAFO waste. And the state of Michigan and the experts like the International Joint Commission have identified phosphorus in waste as a major contributor to harmful algae blooms. So I just want to add one thing about the problem. It's not just in Southeast Michigan. Michigan has 272 of these very large CAFOs in 2017. Now they have about 300 throughout the state. And they're concentrated in areas like Michigan's Thumb, on the western side of the state, near Lake Makatawa, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Muskegon, north of Lansing. And the Saginaw Bay has had extreme algae blooms over the years, too. That's a source of drinking water for a lot of people. Lake Huron, also Lake Michigan in that area. Over half of the people in Michigan get their drinking water from surface water sources like the Great Lakes.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm David Fair, alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest today is Pam Taylor, and she's Research Coordinator for the Environmentally Concerned Citizens of South Central Michigan. We're talking about the relationship between agriculture and the environment. Well, water testing and monitoring is not only ongoing, it's increasing as efforts continue to better identify changes to our ecosystems and the environmental threats it poses before they turn into disasters. How effective have this so-called edge-of-field water monitoring process been in improving agricultural practices?
The idea behind edge-of-field water monitoring is that you know exactly what's coming off of these fields and out of the tiles underneath that drain them, so that you know what you have before it gets downstream, so you're not dealing with it. You can correct whatever caused those excess nutrients and other contaminants to get into the water. And that's really important because each farm field is different, and you can make an assumption or look at a model about what practices might work on one field, but they may not work on the field next to it. So you have to test each field.
We've been getting a lot of rain this year, record amounts actually. Many scientists predict that very wet years like this could become the new norm for Michigan as a result of climate change. What happens in watersheds with lots of CAFOs in wet versus dry years?
Two things happen. When you have excessive rain like we've had this year, you have a lot more nutrients and other contaminants coming off the fields in terms of surface runoff and a lot more tile drainage. The reason that Western Lake Erie Basin has a lot of problems is because they have a lot of drain tiles. Years ago, the western part of Lake Erie Basin, including southeastern Michigan, the Saginaw Bay region, and over on the western side of the state, were actually underwater, and without drain tiles that act like city sewer systems under farm fields, those pipes that underlay those fields carry the excess water so farmers can get into the fields and farm. And without that drainage, we wouldn't have a lot of the food that we have. So it's a problem.
So we're moving into winter, and CAFOs continue to go about their business. And the waste byproducts that we're talking about are liquefied and often sprayed across frozen grounds. And that land is virtually impenetrable at that point. It's frozen. So how significantly does that increase the environmental and public health dangers?
That is one of the major problems, and the Michigan CAFO permit up to now had allowed that under almost all circumstances. This week, the draft of the Michigan CAFO permit was just released, and it does contain some decent steps that would prohibit the application of this waste during January, February, and part of March, and then there are some stipulations at other times. So that's a really good step forward. We need to see that language stays in the permit, and it would be great if it also applied to the smaller farms, the medium and small CAFOs too.
And there's going to be public comment allowed on that particular permit as we move forward before it's adopted into policy, right?
Right, 30 days starting from today, so that's going to be a big deal.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and our first Friday Focus on the Environment conversation on sustainable agriculture continues with environmentally concerned citizens of South Central Michigan's Pam Taylor.
Michigan has a voluntary program called the Michigan Agriculture Environmental Assurance Program, or MEAP. And as I understand it, MEAP is intended to help farmers adopt practices that can reduce harmful runoff and other environmental impacts. But as we've seen in other areas, voluntary programs can have downsides. So what are the challenges with this voluntary approach?
The first challenge is it's voluntary, and everybody mm-hmm. doesn't have to do it. I can talk more specifically about what we see in our area, where we have widespread adoption of these programs. And the problem with any cookie-cutter program like MEAP is it's prescriptive. It lists a whole lot of things that farmers can do, but they are so generic, they are more applicable in other parts of the country, not so much where we have tiled fields and where we're dealing with highly liquid manure. So there really isn't anything that works for the situation that we have right here with dissolved phosphorus and liquid manure inside the MEAP yet.
So what more can be done in terms of the policies and practices at the state level? And is there a model out there that Michigan should be looking at and looking to follow?
So I'm going to answer this question in two ways. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about harmful algae blooms specifically, because we know that CAFO manure is a major contributor to nutrients that cause them, Michigan has no harmful algae bloom policy right now, not for surface water, not for drinking water. This is very different from states like Ohio, Vermont, Minnesota, Washington, and California. And we strongly believe that Michigan needs to be working on that. We need some water quality standards. We need enforceable regulations. We've been watching the MEAP program and voluntary standards be put in place for the last 20 years. And in spite of all of that, the phosphorus levels are going up on our tests. They're not working. So when you're talking about what I think should be done, we need a major change. There are two things that would be effective. Put the cows back out on pasture where they were, where they can naturally distribute their manure on pasture, or you need to treat the waste to municipal sewage treatment, municipal wastewater treatment standards at those farms. There are point sources. If you had a city of 70,000 people, you'd require a wastewater treatment plant.
Does that not become a land use issue?
Well, you know, most water pollution issues come from improper land use, so yes. Then it becomes a matter of who pays for what. That's long and complicated, but essentially, people think, well, I want cheap food and this is how I get it. We industrialize things, but they don't realize that your tax dollars are propping up the corn and soybean prices. You're supporting dairy prices, even when there's no market. Your subsidies are paying through the Farm Bill, USDA subsidy programs for CAFO facilities, for the barns, for the equipment to upgrade their manure lagoons, and also then paying for the tiles to carry the sewage out to the waterway. So if that was adjusted so that the subsidies produced went towards pastured livestock and people food, then it would all balance out. But we have a rigged system right now.
Thank you so much for the time today, Pam.
Thank you very much.
And Lisa Wozniak, thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you in December.
I look forward to it, David.
Pam Taylor is Research Coordinator for the Environmentally Concerned Citizens of South Central Michigan, and Lisa Wozniak, my co-host for First Friday Focus on the Environment, and more importantly, Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.